But anyway, going back to Gampopa and the dual ornament of liberation. So he sets the scene. He sets the scene. He says, you start the text, it says, all of reality comes under either samsara or nirvana. Both of those, both samsara and nirvana, have the ultimate nature of being empty. But samsara is characterized by bewilderment, and that bewilderment manifests as suffering. Nirvana is characterized by the end of that bewilderment and is freed from suffering. So both have the ultimate nature of being empty, but samsara is characterized by bewilderment, which manifests as suffering. Nirvana is characterized by the end of that bewilderment and is freed from suffering. So it's just a very interesting definition of nirvana and samsara, because you do get the sense of that, certainly, I mean, particularly in the nirvana one, but it does apply to that one, that he's talking about attitudes of mind. He's talking about it's process in there. You know, if you train your mind, you can change it from being characterized by bewilderment to the end of that bewilderment. So there's a process in it, and it's very akin to how Bhante talks about nirvana, samsara, or more commonly he talks about it in terms of the wheel and the spiral, doesn't he? That particular kind of teaching. So you can be caught on the wheel, i.e. caught in the bewilderment of samsara, or you can learn how to move up onto the spiral. And when you do that, well, that's not nirvana, but it is the beginning of a process and an attitude that can lead to nirvana. So Gampopa sets the scene, and then he says more about this bewilderment. He says, who is bewildered? Answer, all beings of the three world spheres. So none of us are excluded from the bewilderment unless we're enlightened. Who is bewildered? All beings. What is the cause of this bewilderment? Great ignorance. Not original sin, great ignorance. And I do think this sort of bewilderment, such a good word. Now, I don't know how it works in Swedish. It might be something that the three of the Swedish people on retreat could think about. Because in English, it's just very good. It's, you know, there's an emotional, it's quite a strong emotional sense to it. So there's bewilderment, but there's also bewildered. Then there's the word wilderness. So just interesting when you play around with that. And I just looked up the dictionary before I came over, looked up bewilderment, and it says to cause to become lost. Bewilder it was, to bewilder. To cause to become lost. So it's this great ignorance is what causes us to become lost. Lost, we just revolve around the six realms in bewilderment. When we were studying this chapter, this bit in the on the previous retreat, when I mentioned the one on the dual ornament study retreat, we called this section Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered. So those of you old enough or keen enough on older music. What is the cause of this bewilderment? What causes us to become lost? Great ignorance. Gampopa carries on. Where does it manifest? It manifests in the six realms. What is it like? It's like sleep, or it's like dream, and it's vicious. So it's like sleep. You know, in this bewilderment, we're not awake. From the point of view of an enlightened mind, we're not awake. It's like dream. Though things appear to us as apparently real, but actually they're illusory. There's an illusion. There's an illusion there. So now it is necessary to know what exactly is illusory, because that's not a statement that nothing exists. It's not saying that nothing exists, but it is saying that So there is something about our experience in this bewilderment that is illusory, that is unreal. And then a next question about bewilderment still. Can this bewilderment become transcending awareness? Answer, yes. As soon as enlightenment is attained. But don't think that it can disperse by itself, because samsara is notorious as being without end. So this bewilderment is not going to go away by itself. Don't sit back and wait for it to end. That won't happen. It can end when enlightenment is attained, but it won't happen by itself. It won't disperse by itself. So then we go on to another question that Gampopa poses. He says, since samsara is bewildering, endless, and can't liberate itself, what kind of enlightenment have people striven for, and what is the use of such striving? And then he describes that under six headings. It's one of these texts. It's full of headings. It's really, it's a bit like Lonely Planet Guide to Enlightenment. You know, you just look up the bit that you need and it's there, and it's always under headings. So he describes the answer that comes under six headings. So first of all, so that the question is, what kind of enlightenment have people striven for, and what's the use of doing it? So the first thing he says is that you have to understand about what motivates people to strive for that enlightenment. And the motivation for that striving is our Buddha nature. And remember then that if enlightenment is attainable by hard work, and it would seem to be when you look at the example of other people who've done it, if enlightenment is attainable by hard work, then it must be possible for us, since all beings are endowed with Buddha nature. So all beings carry this potential for enlightenment within us. Let's use Buddha nature in that sense, that we carry within us, all of us, the potential for enlightenment. And if enlightenment is attainable by hard work, then it must be attainable for me and you. Very optimistic, encouraging. Then he goes on and says, the working basis of this striving for enlightenment is the possession of a precious human life, which we now all have. The support to attain enlightenment is acquiring help from spiritual friends. The method of attaining enlightenment, isn't it lovely? The method, just goes through it, so straightforward. The method of attaining enlightenment is from the instructions of our spiritual friends. The result is enlightenment. And our activity thereafter is for the benefit of all beings. So it's very, described. So then there's another question. There's all of that. So we've just heard all of that. Given that we have the basic ability, so we've got this potential for enlightenment within us, we have a human life, and we have spiritual friends. And he adds, and probably we've had them in past life. So if we put it in the context of life after life, then we'll have had all this before. Okay, given all that, then why have we not attained Buddhahood? You could see it coming, couldn't you?